The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Good morning. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter, I'm going to start there. And if I could title this sermon, I would title it, Digging Holes for the Children. Now, that might have piqued your interest a little bit, like what in the world could he do with that? But digging holes for the children is what I want to talk about today. As I prepare to preach, to me it's a little bit different now than it was maybe 6 or 8 years ago. And the one thing that I have to consider is that we have the podcast out there, and that there's a lot of ears listening that we never know about. We'll never know their names, but occasionally we get emails that says, hey, I'm so-and-so from so-and-so state, and I'm listening to the podcast, and it was a blessing to me. And so I've learned in my time at the Primitive Baptist that you have people like Brother Obey, you have people like the guy that's from England that are seeking the truth, and the Lord has a way of guiding his people to the right place to hear the truth, whether they stumble into Vestavia Primitive Baptist Church or whether they stumble across a podcast from Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church. So when I prepare to preach, I now see more than just your faces. I see faces that don't have a face, the faceless face, I guess I could say. And I had a lot of that in mind when I prepared this sermon, Digging Holes for the Children. I want to give you a quick definition of the word invest. To invest means to devote one's time, effort, or energy to a particular undertaking with the expectation of a worthwhile result. To devote one's time, effort, or energy to a particular undertaking with the expectation of a worthwhile result. Everybody probably knew that definition. You may not have put it in those particular words, but you know what it means to invest in something because we invest something all the time. Believe it or not, you're investing something right now. When I laid my head down to go to sleep tonight, I was investing in my own health by getting a good night's rest, hopefully. When I sit down at the table to eat, I'm investing in my health because I'm giving my body the nutrition it needs. When you pack up your bags and you go to school and you listen to the teacher, you're investing in your education so that the worthwhile result of that would be that you increase in knowledge and maybe you're able to get a better job or whatever. We're always investing. Right. Now, many times we're investing in the wrong thing. Right. Many, many times. The thing that you invest in the most is yourself. If you can sit down and think one day about all the things that you do that when you're putting your time, energy, or effort into something, it's usually for yourself, which is no surprise because the Bible says in the last days perilous times shall come for men shall be lovers of themselves. Right. It's easy to love ourselves. It's easy to invest in ourselves. Typically, when you think about the word investment or investing, you probably think of it from a financial standpoint. You think of financial planners and people that help you sit down and say, hey, if you want to have this amount of money at this particular age or whatever, here's how you need to put your money and here's how you need to do those things. I'm glad those people are there because that is not my cup of tea. I don't understand how they do that and how they figure all that out. But if you sit down and you talk with a financial planner, someone that does investing, what you're going to find is there's going to be 4, 5, 6 points that they're going to bring out to you. And they're going to say, you need to follow these 4 or 5 points, and that will help you be wise in how you invest. And I've talked to some people about this, but I looked it up and said, what's the main 5 points? What are the top 5 points that a financial advisor would give you, the advice that he would give you? And I've written down these 5 things because I probably couldn't remember them. The first thing they would tell you is to start early. To start early, they would say, hey, you're way better off to start investing your money when you're 20 as opposed to when you're 40. Because when you're investing that money, they put it in stocks and bonds or whatever, all the stuff that they know that I don't understand. They'll take that money and they'll invest it in something, and that money begins to make money. Your money will begin to make money, and the quicker you put it in there to get it to start to do that, the better off you are at the end result, right? So they'll tell you to start early. They'll also tell you to invest regularly. That means don't bring me some money when you're 20 years old and then show up when you're 40 years old for the second deposit. It says that's something you need to start early and you need to invest regularly. They'll also tell you to do what you can. Listen, we're all made up of a bunch of different social statuses, I guess you could say, when it comes to the financial end of it. That some folks make a ton of money and some folks make a little bit of money. And they tell you, say, listen, you may not be able to invest as much as this guy invests, but you need to figure out what you can do and do that. At least do that. They'll also tell you to diversify. We sat down with a guy probably a year ago and said, hey, you know, here's some things that we're thinking and we need some help and some guidance and all that kind of stuff. And he began to talk about diversifying and how to put your money where. And I wanted to tell the guys, that's what I'm paying you to do. I don't know where to put it. He says, well, you can put it in Coca-Cola or you could put it in, he didn't say Facebook, but you could put it in something like Facebook or you could put it in all these stocks and all this kind of stuff. He says, but don't put it all in one place. You need to put some here and some here and some here and some there and diversify it in case one of these doesn't do real well, you hadn't lost all your money. And they'll also tell you to be patient and to give it time. You put your money in at 20 years old and you do what you can with it. Maybe you take what little money you've got at 20 and you diversify it and you put it in a few different places. They're going to tell you don't come back at 21 years old and expect to have a pocket full of money. You got to be patient and you got to give it time. Now, investing, that's from a worldly standpoint, but investing is also taught biblically. That's a biblical principle. But the biblical idea of investing differs quite a bit from the world's idea of investing. If you think about in Matthew the 6th chapter where it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now, if you go to your financial advisor and he says, well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. You're going to think, wait a minute. I don't know what this guy's thinking. He's fixing to get all my money and go do something with it and spend it on himself. But that's not what the world will tell you. The world will say, lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. You need to pile them up and get as much as you can while you're on this earth. Paul says that he considers all things but dung that he may win Christ. You see what Paul said? Paul says, all the worldly things that I could gain, he says, I now count them loss that I may win Christ or be won by Christ. You see, that's not what a financial advisor is going to tell you. A financial advisor is not going to say, you need to consider all the things of the world dung and loss. That's not what they're going to say. Now listen, I'm not picking on financial advisors. We use them, they're good, and I'm not, you know, if you're a financial advisor and you're listening to this, I'm not telling you that what you're doing is sinful. We need you guys, okay? Because just like Joseph, they stored up some things for hard times, okay? So that's important. But the biblical idea of investing is quite different than the world's idea of investing. And I want to look in Matthew the 25th chapter for just a second. And I'm going to read a good chunk of this to you. I'm going to start in the 14th verse. And it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. Now a talent is just a measure of weight. A talent is not a silver coin. It's a weight of something, weight of money. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability or his own ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he said that had received 5 talents came and brought another five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I want you to notice where the guy ended up. He ended up in the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into what? The joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, now I want you to notice this real quick. I don't know if this parable has ever given y'all trouble, but it's given me some trouble. Hopefully we can get some clarity on it today. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reaped where I sow not, and gathered where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant. Notice where this guy ends up. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now let me clarify this for just a second. There are times in the Bible where weeping and gnashing of teeth refers to an eternal hell. But many times it does not. Many, many times, weeping and gnashing of teeth is a state of sorrow and conflict. And if you have ever seen somebody that is crying their eyes out over their problems, that they're fussing all the time, there's all kind of turmoil in their life, they're in a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Amen.
So, in this particular situation, that's what we're looking at here. We're not looking at an eternal hell.
Right.
We're looking at a state where there is much sorrow and much conflict.
Yes.
Now, if I ask you, do you want to enter into the joy of the Lord? Or do you want to enter into a place of sorrow and conflict? What would you pick?
Right.
Unless you're totally messed up, you're going to pick, you want to enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, let me explain this parable just for a minute. I'll just briefly for the sake of time. I've read this parable before and I thought, well, the third guy, he said, listen, I knew how you were. And based on how you were, this is what I thought would be best. You know, you went and you reaped where you didn't sow. And then the guy seems to make his, it seems that he, by his own admission, is a hard man. But listen, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. That's talking about our Lord. It is not a characteristic of our Lord to be hard and to gather where he hasn't sown. Our Lord is meek and lowly in heart. Now, he is powerful and mighty, so much so that he tells the Son to go here and stay until I tell you to stop, and it does it. And he says the waves can only come so far, and those are your bounds, and they obey him. He is powerful and mighty in that way, but he is meek and lowly in heart. You see, what this man is doing, this third servant, is he's making excuses. He's making an excuse to this Lord, and he said, I can picture him in his mind thinking, oh, what am I going to tell him? Oh, well, I knew you were a hard man, and that you went and you reaped where you didn't sow, and you gathered where you have not strawed, and so that's why I did what I did. And he's making an excuse. And the man here, the Lord, is not admitting to being that way. He's turning it back on the man and basically saying, you have no excuse. Now, I want you to hold on to that for just a second. You have no excuse. You could read it this way. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not. Or you can read it this way. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not? You see, he's fixing to shut down his excuse. See, this man is not a hard man. This man is not reaping where he has not sown. This man is not gathering where he has not strawed. He's looking at his servant and saying, this is a lame excuse, but even if it was a legitimate excuse, you have no excuse.
Right.
See what I'm saying? This is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has gone into a far country and left us with many blessings. And sometimes we take those blessings and make excuses of why we haven't done what we should have done with the blessings. But here we see we have no excuse. We have no excuse. Now, Jesus tells Peter, he says, I'm praying for you that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, I don't have but about 15 minutes up here to strengthen the brethren. But if you could ask me, what is one way, when you look at the world today, you know, we're blessed to live in an area that is predominantly a peaceful area. And godly people seem to abound. And even, I'm not saying Primitive Baptists abound, I'm saying godly people abound. And we're blessed by that. But when you turn on the news, there is a world that is crumbling around us. And if somebody's listening to this podcast or somebody here today says, Luke, tell me, what would you say in 15 minutes that would strengthen the brethren? What would you say? I'd say invest in the right things.
Amen.
You can invest in your marriage. You can invest in your home. You can invest in the children. I did not say your children. I said the children. Okay? And I want to look at the children for just a moment because that's all I've got time for. Maybe one day we'll go over the marriages. Maybe one day we'll go over some of that other stuff. But if I could say one thing that would strengthen this nation, it would be to go back to the home and have the mindset that I'm going to invest in the home. Right. Now, I want to take the principles of financial investing for just a minute, and I want to apply them to the children because I believe it's biblical. Start early, invest regularly, do what you can, diversify, and be patient and give it time. In Proverbs, the 19th chapter, if you want to flip over there, if not, you can jot it down. Proverbs, the 19th chapter. Let's talk about investing early in the children. Why did I name this digging holes for your children? You notice the man that took what the Lord gave him? You notice what that did not invest into it? Did you know what he did with it? He went and dug a hole, and he put it in the hole. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's where that title came from. The man that the Lord blessed to give a talent, instead of taking the blessing of the Lord and bringing an increase from it, he took it and he dug a hole and he put it in it. Now, you could have titled this sermon, Burying Your Children, because that's what he did. He buried it. Digging holes for your children. Proverbs, the 19th chapter, in verse 18, it says this. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. The word chasten there means to discipline, to instruct, or to admonish, or warn. Chasten does not mean necessarily going over there with a rod of correction. Sometimes it's instructing them, sometimes it's disciplining them, and sometimes it's just teaching them and admonishing them. It says you need to chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare. To spare means to do away with or to take away for some reason. The Bible talks about don't spare the rod. Don't take the rod and not use it. It says here, don't spare the chastening of your son because he's crying. I don't know if y'all have ever had to deal with this, but it is difficult sometimes to take a child who's crying his eyes out, and it's difficult to chasten them sometimes. Why? Because as a father or a mother, it plays on your heartstrings, right? And you say, oh, let's just let this slide this one time. Listen, invest early. And I hope you're hearing me on this. There is a period of time in a child's life where you have an influence over them that you will not always have. There is a period of time in a child's life where they are trainable, you can instruct them, they look at you as the authority, and that will eventually change. If you don't believe me, neglect training your children and wait till they're 20 years old and see how it works. It doesn't work. We cannot wait till our children are 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 to start investing in their lives. We've got to do it while there's hope. And we can't let anything in this world become an obstacle that we have to overcome that might prevent us from doing that because the clock is ticking. Now, I'm not telling you that your relationship with your parents won't be anything when you're older. I have a great relationship with my parents, but it is different than it was when I was five. It's different. But there's a period of time that you need to invest in your children while they are young. Do it while they're early. The Bible tells us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. And I don't take credit for this. I heard another preacher say this one time. He said, but there's a difference between training and raising. He says, you can raise hogs and you can raise cows and you can raise chickens. Meaning that you take food and you put it for them, out there for them. You take water and you put it out there for them. And you make sure that something doesn't come in and maybe get them. But you're all you're doing is providing them the sustenance to see the light of another day. You can raise hogs and you can raise children. Are you with me?
Yes.
You can put food on the table for your children. You can put water out there for them and clothes on their back. And you can absolutely raise children and never spend 1 minute training them.
Right.
The Bible doesn't say raise up children. It says train your children.
Amen.
And if you're going to train your children, let us take heed to Proverbs 19:18 and start early. Do it when they're young. Now, invest regularly in your children. In Hebrews 3:13 it says, exhort one another daily. That means every single day there should be some exhortation going on. And I think you need to apply that to your children. Now listen, again, I'm not saying, I did say your children then, I meant the children. You may be sitting there and say, I don't have children, or my children are grown. Listen, if I wrote down the top 10 people that were the major influences in my life, certainly my parents would be on there, but there'd be 8 other ones on there too. I could list coaches, I could list teachers, I could list parents of friends that I had that were major influences in my life, that taught me things, that set examples before me. And when you come to Bethlehem, there are children around every pew. I mean, everywhere you look, there's a child, and that's great. There are not many churches like that, and we're blessed to have that. You need to understand, you may see my children, and they may not be your children, but that does not mean you cannot apply these principles to my children, and that I can't apply them to your children. Nothing would excite me more than for my children to come home one day, if they were at somebody's house, and I said, what'd y'all do today? You know, did you play? Tell me about your day. Well, we did this, 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 and this. And then we sat down, and one of the parents talked to us about the Bible. Amen. Praise God if you do that. That my children go to somebody else's house, and maybe the father or the mother said, hey guys, we've been running crazy and playing. Let's take time to sit down just for a minute. And I've had a scripture on my mind. Let me take 5 minutes to explain it to you. That would be wonderful. You have my permission to do that if my children are at your house. You have my permission to do that if I'm at your house. I'd love to hear you talk about the Bible. To exhort one another daily. To exhort means to bring to one side. Now, what happens when they get to their side? Because it can vary in different things. But it means daily to take them and bring them to your side. On a daily basis, if it is all at all possible, you need to take the children and bring them close to your side. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Listen, your child can be with people and be by themselves. You understand? A child could be surrounded by a multitude of people and still be by themselves. You bring them to your side and bring them close to you. And while they're close to you, because they won't always be that. We've got people getting married. We've got people moving. We've got, some of the children that were children when we first came here are not children anymore. They grow up and they move off. While you have the chance to daily bring them to your side, bring them to your side and train them while there is hope. Now, start early, invest regularly, and listen. If you don't hear anything else I say, listen to this part. Start early, invest regularly, and do what you can. The financial principle of do what you can. Some guy can invest $1,000 a month. Another guy may can only invest $50 a month. Do what you can. I understand that we have different jobs and we have different time commitments. And one guy may have no other option than to work 75 hours a week. And you may be blessed like me that you don't even have to work on Fridays. We've all got different obligations during the week. But listen, don't look at me and say, well, Brother Luke puts this much time into it and I don't have that much time. Quit looking at me. Right. Do what you can. Right. Just like that financial advisor would tell you, do what you can. Listen, I love this. Mark the 12th chapter, it talks about Jesus is sitting. I'm just going to read it to you. Mark 12:41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Can you picture that? Jesus sitting over in the corner just watching and looking at that treasury as people come and cast things into it. And it says, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Why? She did all she could. She may have given a little bit while everybody else was giving a lot, but the thing that brought a smile to our Savior's face, in so much that he called his disciples to him and says, come here. Come here and let me point this out to you, because this is something you need to understand. She did what she could. Now, you may not be able to sit down and expound on the Bible like Brother Tim can to his children, but you can do something. You can sit down and you can read it to them. I may have an hour a day to sit down with my family and teach them the Bible. You may have 5 minutes. Do what you can. Amen. That is so vital to the children's lives. The Bible says, the financial advisor will tell you to diversify. I'm going to try to wrap this up quickly. To diversify. You know, there's a mentality out there that Here's my child. I'm just going to invest in them and just love, 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 give, 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 give. There's a place for that. But there's something over here you need to invest in too, and that's discipline.
Amen.
That you've got to invest in. If you love your child, you'll love them straight into a terrible life. If all you do is give, 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 and give, and never say no. You got to invest in that. You've got to invest in the discipline. There's many areas of a child's life that you've got to put your investment into.
Right.
I've said before, I want my children to know that there is no person on this earth other than their mother that loves them the way I love them. But that I'll also be the first one to pick up the rod of correction if needed. Because I want to diversify how I invest into my children. Lastly, start early, invest regularly, do what you can, diversify, and be patient. Be patient. I'll probably talk every time I preach for the next 20 years about the virtuous woman, because that's what we've been going over in our house. I've told you that before. We're going through the virtuous woman and all those characteristics, and I rejoice when I see my children. I'm not trying to puff them up, but I rejoice when I see it sinking in. The other day we were out, and you know, we got the gender a little bit wrong. But we were out, and we had a big oak tree fall down, and my dad had gone out there and found it, and he said, well, I'll go down there and cut it up. So he was cutting it up, and Hank and I rode down there and started splitting the wood up. So we were splitting the wood up, and we were loading up so we would have firewood for the winter. And we were riding back, and Hank said to me, he said, Dad, you're being the virtuous woman. And I said, how so? And he said, because you're storing up for winter, you know. You're planning ahead, and you're not waiting until the last minute, because that's one of the characteristics of the virtuous woman. I said, well, yeah, but I'm the virtuous man, maybe. Let's at least get that right. But he was listening, and I rejoiced in that. I was like, thank you, Lord, that they are listening. It makes we almost start shouting at our dinner table when we sit around and we begin to read this and explain this, and one of the children will say, you know what, Dad, that's kind of like this over here in this part of the Bible that you taught us a year ago, and they piece it together. We almost have a shouting match right then because it's sinking in. Folks, it works. They're listening. You may only have 5 minutes, but listen, when you give them that 5 minutes, you need to trust that the Lord is smiling. As you invest into your children, and He has a way of making it grow. He has a way of giving them the understanding when we may fail in explaining it properly. So start early investing in your children. Don't wait till it's too late. Invest in them regularly. Pull them to your side on a daily basis. And my goodness, tell them you love them.
Amen.
Tell my children that you love them.
Amen.
Do what you can. Diversify and be patient. There's tremendous danger, and our society is crumbling around us because parents chose to invest in everything but their children. And they went over here as the wicked and slothful servant and dug a hole and placed their children in it and covered them up. One of these days, I may go back to our financial advisor. And I can go back to him and I can say, all right, it's been 30 years since I first saw you. And he may look at me and tell me, he says, you have nothing. And I may get angry and say, why do I have nothing? And he's going to look at me, if this were the case, and say, because you never brought me anything to do anything with. You never invested one dime in these accounts that you set up. It is a terrifying thought as a parent one day to look at my portfolio of children and think, why is it like this? And for the Lord to look at me and say, you slothful servant, you never invested 1 minute into them. You never did anything for them. You never put time in. Listen, extracurricular activities are great. I had a bunch of them growing up. But they should never supersede the time with your children.
Amen.
If you've got to drop something out of your life for 5 minutes with your children, do it.
Amen.
And in 20 years, if they're young right now, you can look at them. And as we talk about the virtuous woman. By the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. I explained to my children that you are our vineyard. And we may be planning things in you right now, and we may get very weary at times planning and investing and watering and fertilizing, but I say I love you too much to not have the idea that in 20 years that we will step back and look at our vineyard and see a crop that is fruitful. That's what I want. You can help me with that, and I hope I can help you with that. Invest in the children. If I could strengthen you in one way today, I would say, look at your lives and invest in the children. If you're doing a good job of that, praise the Lord. If you're not, and you don't know where to start, Brother Tim, Brother Neil, somebody can help you do that. Look at all these children around here. If you don't get one of them today before you leave and pull them to your side and hug them and tell you that you love them, shame on you. I hope you do. Thank you for your attention.